Of the four offspring of my parents, I am the one who rolled farthest from the tree. When we gather, we are reconstituted as the company we knew in our childhood and in our youth. Now, of course, there are nieces and nephews whose presence is often a reminder of moments of our past. As we adults sat at table after a bountiful Thanksgiving meal one evening, the children played together just a few feet away in the family room at my parents'. We were interrupted by a wail, followed by the sudden appearance of a weeping child who ran to his mother, my sister. A sullen child standing a few paces away, avoiding eye contact with his parents and assorted other children, looking like bystanders at a wrestling match, wondering whether it was safe to get involved at all. One of the adults began the inquiry with the usual, "What happened?" And almost simultaneously, the two children at the center of the altercation each pointed at the other and blurted, "It was his fault." It was terribly difficult for those of us at the table to maintain our concerned demeanors. We were struck by the timelessness of that situation, and we were vividly transported to a time not so long ago, but longer than we care to admit, when we were children. It was deja vu all over again. In a culture so consistently wrestling with victimization of all sorts, every conflict has its culprit. Blame is quickly meted out. Often even more facts are discerned. Is there a genetic source that caused us to inherit this reality? We have made an industry of litigation, and there is money to be gained. Who did what to whom when, perhaps to lasting consequence? Somebody is going to pay. We're always trying to sort out justice and fairness in our lives and in our society. And there are, of course, the far too numerous shootings and human detonations that cause so much fear that we often teeter on the brink of losing our human connectedness that is at the heart of our just humanity. The bombings in Gaza and Jerusalem and throughout the Middle East over the centuries have been about who has the rights to what. Who has been victimized by whom? Justice and fairness. What land belongs to whom? And what holy sites are whose? The first Thanksgiving in this land was a meal shared between arguments of justice and fairness. Who had what right to what land? A battle that goes on today in the Black Hills and in other lands sacred to our first Americans who are left out of almost every conversation of justice. When and how will we ever count our many blessings? Give thanks with true joy and humility, and out of the abundance of blessings, turn to make sure that those without such blessings have an opportunity to enjoy them as well. Why can't we find humble, soft hearts and live together in the peace of the God who blesses us in the first place, and let God's justice roll down upon us? On a day when we celebrate God's providence, God's blessings with our thanks, it's good to be reminded that while it's a pleasant experience to have plenty of food and closet full of clothes to match the occasion, I just found out this week I have way too many shoes, need and whim, such things are truly secondary and even incidental to the meaning of Thanksgiving. For to put first things first, as our gospel invites us, and as the text presents the perspective, that we are valued of God, valued more than the birds that are fed so freely and the fields that are beautifully clothed by God. a valuing that in turn encourages our love of and compassion for those with whom we are to share the gifts and the blessings of God. Value itself, dignity, safety, land, food, clothing, housing, accessible mental health support, worship, all having access to basic necessities. The true fairness and justice that God so desires for all of humanity is that we see our blessings as more than we need, so that we can share them with those who need them too. These are first things first, even in the face of the evil that infects the hearts of far too many. We have no need to blame our shortcomings upon one another, not upon our genes, nor upon our experience, important as these factors may be. But neither can we take credit for what we have, for what we enjoy, for what we cherish, and for which we give thanks. We are meant to live not in competition, but in community. We are meant to live within the embrace of God, whose primary characteristics are mercy and justice and blessing and love. What we ask in prayer is that we too may have these characteristics at the very heart of our lives. We pray that as we give thanks to God for our many blessings, that we remember that we are called into partnership with God to build a kingdom right here of deep care and blessing for every person, and that we are not here to compete for God's blessings. We are here to share God's blessings with abandon and truly thank-filled hearts. It was difficult for my sisters, my brother, and me to explain to those contentious cousins how equal their culpability, how equal their need of each other. As their tears subsided and they returned to their play, the conversation among us at the table resumed. And we talked of many things at that table. And in those private moments, we shared of the differences represented among us, of the pains that we each struggle to overcome, and the joy of accomplishments in the midst of every challenge. But we wasted little energy or time in seeking someone to blame, and we wasted no precious moments in the indulgence of selfish pride or vain superiority. As we sat at that table together, we asked only to know how each could help the other, and to confess again and again the blessing of the profound love that makes us a family through all that ever threatens our love for one another. That wasn't always the case with us, but we've gotten there, and it's such a gift. In those moments at table together, we were, by God's grace, what every congregation is to be as it gathers at God's table, and what the family of God may one day be at the ultimate table we are called to share. For in those moments at table, we anticipate a life shaped not by fighting over who gets what, who is entitled to what, or who is to blame for what, but by the care and blessing God has placed upon and within each one of us. A life shaped not by any flawed notion of justice and fairness, but by mercy and love. A life shaped not by contorted conceptions of personal or national superiority, but by the generous sharing of compassionate care for the realities we all bear, and a deep respect for every human life. Somewhere between our childish fights and our precious and far too few adult reunions, my brother and sisters and I are not always sure where we're going, nor how we shall get there, nor what awaits us. We are sure only of how blessed we are, our love for one another that has and will survive so much, that wherever we're going there together. And we are sure that God is going with us. And for this, I give my fullest thanks. As you gather with family and friends, or perhaps as you face this day by yourself, take Jesus' words this day to heart. Words about birds and lilies and getting first things first, so that in reveling in the gifts enjoyed in abundance, we don't forget the needs of those who may lack in many things, yet not in God's love. Thanksgiving calls us to remember the blessings in life, the Creator who cares for each and all with grace and love, the gifts of blessing and care that call us to work toward mercy and justice for every person, the gifts of providence entrusted to bring joy to us and to those whose lives God enables us to touch, knowing that we have one another in this life, remembering that we are surrounded and empowered to change the world by the unwavering love of God that exists within us. Thanks be to God this day. I give thanks for you, each and every one of you. I hope that you have a marvelous day of thanksgiving and blessing, and that together, as we move forward in the years to come, we may help God build that kingdom. Amen.